The words for our devotion this morning are found in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with the 20th verse, and I'll be reading a different translation. I'll be using the NASB. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The greeting is with my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. Maranatha, which is translated, O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. In Jesus Christ, our Advent King, dear fellow redeemed, in the Christmas and the Advent season that we're in right now, we hear the phrase, the line from a somewhat familiar old secular carol, I'll be home for Christmas. It reminds us of all the nostalgia of the season. Christmas is a time for coming home, a time to be with family and loved ones. For college students, it's the end of the semester. Time off, time away from those demanding professors, a pleasant change of pace. We'll be home for Christmas. But in those holiday gatherings and family gatherings, there may be people that we really don't want to meet. There might be people there that we've hurt very deeply. And we don't know how they're going to react to us. And therefore that phrase, I'll be home for Christmas, can raise mixed emotions in our minds. The same is true of the words in this text. O Lord Jesus, come, come quickly. When we hear these words in the Advent season, we think of our Lord's threefold coming. He came once long ago, that first Christmas for our salvation. He will come again on the last day to take us to eternal life. And he's coming today through his life-giving word to each and every one of us here. First, we want to think about his coming on the last day in great glory. We wonder what that meeting is going to be like. He's an old friend for each and every one of us, or at least most of us here. We've known him since infancy, when in baptism he took us as his own and marked us with the holy cross upon our foreheads. And yet, how many times haven't we drifted away from that dear old friend? We meet him so infrequently in his word. It almost seems that we don't realize that the child in the manger is present for us only in Holy Word and Blessed Sacrament. Our prayer life, talking to him, often becomes very seldom, so that we have a hard time even talking to him. Sometimes we're like the dear old lady who complained to her pastor about singing the same old hymns all the time. I come to church and I sing Away in a Manger, and the next time I come, I sing Christ the Lord is Risen Today. It just isn't right. Sometimes he's a friend that we have taken advantage of and hurt very deeply. We defiantly say, maybe not openly like I'm going to say it, but how often don't we say it in our hearts? Jesus, I think your commandments are totally obsolete. Nobody lives like that anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I really don't care what you think. When we see his tears, there's no remorse. Even when we see the disaster that that lifestyle sometimes brings, there's no remorse. Sometimes he's a friend that's hurt very deeply because we don't trust him very much. And we know that as a result of our lives on our own, at his second coming, we don't deserve the crown, but rather the disaster that befalls one in eternal destruction. That's the situation on our own. But thanks be to God, there is hope in his first coming so long ago, in the miracle of the incarnation. God made flesh. Jesus, the Almighty One, took our form, became human flesh like you and me, to show us God's love. As Luther says, I want to know no God or Son of God, but the one of whom the Christian creed tells. If he is not man born of Mary, I want none of him. To meet the divine outside of the flesh of the child will utterly destroy us. But in the cross and in the manger, he shows us who he is and his great love. The little Lord Jesus became poor and lowly to raise us up to his divine glory. He took upon himself our flesh made from dust, so that through unity with his divinity, he could conquer sin, death, and all our foes in that flesh, and make us partakers of the divine as the sons and daughters of God with an eternal existence. All that the first Adam lost in the fall, Jesus, the second Adam, restored in himself, paradise regained for you and me, and more, divine life beyond the grave. He partook in all our suffering, our pain, and our sorrow, so that we could have his holiness, divine life, and the joy of heaven, a wonderful exchange. That miracle of the incarnation, interestingly, did not end at that first Christmas. It still has meaning for us today. The Almighty Word, who once took flesh in the Virgin's womb, is now incarnate. He's present with his flesh for each and every one of us in his life-giving Word and the Holy Sacraments. In his church, as we gather here this morning, in the swaddling clothes of the Word, you will find the child and his manger. At every baptism, the cradle in our heart was prepared. At every absolution, that cradle is refurbished and renewed. At every Lord's Supper celebration, we meet the Holy Child in his flesh and blood, where he unites himself with us, and we with him, ever undivided. He's there for us at all times. Therefore, regardless of the uncertainties in your mind this morning, regardless of the difficulties and trials, the Holy Night offers hope for each and every one of us. Regardless of our struggle today, there's hope. The child in the manger is the Almighty God. He died so that we could have life everlasting. If he already did that, the greatest thing, then he's not going to allow us to be consumed in this life. He's present there for each and every one of us in the struggles and burdens and difficulties that we face, giving us the power to go forward, to continue the way he would have us go. the strengthening that he offers, that he gives, the strengthening we need is in his means of grace. Christmas is a time for coming home. It's a time to get together with loved ones and dear friends. But the whole season will be absolutely meaningless and empty if we don't come home to our one true friend, the dear Lord Jesus. The hymnist says, "Come from on high to me, I cannot rise to thee." Yes, dear Lord Jesus, we can't climb up to you. But thanks be to God, in the fullness of time, on a midnight clear, the Word became flesh for a world that was doomed for each of us. And more than that, he is present for you today, right now, in his life-giving word, the true gift of Christmas, so that you can live with him forever in heaven's a fair home. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, you once came poor and lowly in the stall for our salvation. So come to us today through the preaching of your word, so that our sins may be forgiven and our faith strengthened. Forgive us for neglecting your means of grace this past year, and make us more diligent in the next, so that our faith may remain alive until your final coming. Then at that second coming, for us, it will be a time of joy without end in paradise beyond. Amen. We continue with the hymn.
Grace of our Lord.